Good morning, one and all. Thank you for joining us here at the Fresh Start Show with Dr. DeMond Holt. And Dr. Holt could not be here today, so he has asked me to step in, and he has no one at the door with a hook to pull me away, so I am off and running. Dr. Holt is down in Sierra Vista doing a presentation there, and he left me the opportunity to present to you Fresh Start for this week. I first want to thank Dr. Holt for having the faith and the confidence in me to carry on with what he has started and what he is building and what we are building toward. It has been a movement in this city, and there are a great many people that are jumping on board this movement, which makes it really exciting. And it's even more exciting for the people that we get to see every week that we go and see and do the orientations at the Release Center. And men and women that are being released or in the process of being released, hearing what Fresh Start can do for them. And they're excited. And I am Tom Cortez. I'm the Social Service Domain Director at For Tucson. And Dr. Holt and I have been working together for about 3 years. And through part of my job in social service, I was appointed on the committee to work for Fresh Start, and I really didn't know what it was. And that's one of the things I want to share with everybody today, because I don't think we go over it enough, because I don't think enough people know what we're able to do and how we're able to affect change in their life. So working with Dr. Holt, we started 2 years ago the event, and it helped over 400 people. And last year, the event helped over 1,000 people. And there were more resources, and there were more felony-friendly employers, and there were more people taking advantage of the opportunities that were being offered to them throughout that day. Now, what do we offer? We do civil rights restoration. We do warrant resolution for misdemeanors, juvenile record expungement, marijuana conviction expungement, apply for government assistance programs, justice-friendly housing, justice-friendly employers, education opportunities, access to behavioral health and addiction services, access to basic medical services. We also have the opportunity for people to come in and they can get a haircut and they can get a change of clothes. And then they can walk down that hallway where those felony-friendly employers are, and they can talk to them about getting a job and changing their future. I've spoken about this numerous times over the years, because it's one of the areas of Fresh Start where you can see a dramatic change within a really short period of time, because somebody walks through the door and they see these wonderful ladies that come and cut hair all day. And they sit down there and they get their hair cut, and they're looking pretty bedraggled when they walk in. And you know what? As the haircut goes on, they start to sit up a little bit and their head starts to be a little bit higher. And when those ladies are done, when those men get up and they walk over to that area where they're able to get a new set of clothes, the gentleman that walks down that hallway toward those prospective employers is a different individual than walked in the door, because there were a number of individuals that he encountered during that process that were there just for him to have a better day, a better moment, a better future. That's the volunteer heart through Fresh Start, what we're able to do when all of those resources get together and all of the volunteers from those resources come and help out, and they start talking to people and they start realizing, you know what, none of us are any different from the next. Any moment could have changed any one of our lives. You know, the one thing that a great many of us take for granted each and every day is that when we leave the house in the morning, we're going to come home in the evening. I can tell you of numerous individuals who I knew in prison who were dead within their first week of being released, because they went back to the game. They went back to the life. There is absolutely no excuse for failure anymore. We offer so many different opportunities for people. I mean, access to basic medical services. We have the vaccine clinics. We have the trained to get Narcan and administer it. It's an epidemic in this city. It's an epidemic in this country. We should all be prepared to deal with it because we don't know who is actually using it. And a great many people would be surprised to find out. So, you know, we began talking about trauma last week in part one, and Dr. Holt wanted to talk a little bit more about the trauma of solitary confinement, and I'd like to go back a little bit further than that and, you know, talk about the individual that goes into the courtroom and their advocate, for all intent and purposes, is a complete and utter stranger who happens to be defending them. And it's not because they're defending them because they care about them. It's just an opportunity for them to do the job that they have chosen in life. And you're pretty much on your own except for your support system, but a great many of us have alienated those support systems. So sometimes we're in the courtroom all by ourselves. That in itself is traumatic. You're going to face, whether it be the process of a plea bargain or going through a trial, you're going to face a number of different things throughout that process, which are going to be traumatic. There are going to be decisions that you have to make as far as what you're going to do with the rest of your life, that will be traumatic. You have to decide, am I going to sign a plea bargain for 15 years, or am I going to take the chance of going to trial and looking at a life sentence? You know, and we've talked about it before. The justice system does everything to separate the assailant from the victim. And restorative justice does everything to reconcile all the relationships that are involved. Sometimes we forget that if somebody does a burglary or somebody does a theft, maybe if we didn't have a mandatory sentencing code that said because they did that, they are getting this amount of time. Maybe if that individual did that to feed his family, would it make any difference? You know, would we look at that differently? Would a judge look at it differently? Because at this point, they're not allowed to. I mean, with mandatory sentencing, truth in sentencing, all of these things, there's a code that they have to follow. And when they follow that code, you fall under this guideline and that's what you get. There's very little room for the judges to have empathy for anything that led you to that point. For myself personally, for those of you that know the story, I mean, having a gunfight with Tucson Police Department back in 1984, you know, that was a very, very long time ago. But now I have had the opportunity to be in the same room with one of the officers who was part of that shooting. We haven't had the opportunity to talk yet, but it's going to happen. You know, I know it's going to happen. I have faith in that. And I trust that it will be reconciliation. I know that everything that I'm working toward with the justice system and with the those coming back and going and reentering society and looking for a life beyond what put them in there, and most of the time we were stunted in our emotional growth through the traumas that we experienced. But we touched a little bit last week on compound trauma and trauma bonding, which I definitely associate with prison. But I mean, a major one is complex trauma. And that's from experiencing repeated or multiple traumatic events from which there is no possibility of escape. The sense of being trapped is a feature of the experience. For me, that just really describes prison and the many different facets of prison, solitary more than not. And just recently, the Department of Corrections has been ordered again to revamp their solitary confinement practices. We know that if an individual goes without physical contact for a period of time, part of that individual is just going to die. It's absolutely essential for us as human beings to have intimacy. And I have spent for very long periods of time in solitary confinement. I used to say that I was the greatest Christian in the world when I was in solitary confinement, but if you released me and put me around other people, I wasn't so good. But there is some truth to that. And another joke was from the public defender's office is, if you wanted to meet Jesus, you go down to the county jail because everybody there knows Jesus. The fact of the matter remains is that when people have suffered a traumatic event, they reach for something. And there's no greater evidence of that than let's go back to a football game with Cincinnati and Buffalo. And you saw how quickly a nation turned to prayer when somebody's life was in jeopardy. And I think that that was very, very important for people to see how quickly people join in faith to trust in a higher power. Going through prison the way we go through prison, is contingent upon what you have faith in, and the traumas that you experience, especially the complex trauma. You are locked into an environment that you have to be hyper vigilant. I mean, there's different security levels in prison, and do you have to be hyper vigilant in all of them? Well, I can tell you from all of my years of experience in prison, people die in minimum security just as much as they die in maximum security. I would venture to say that when people are given more access to each other, there is more violence, which again goes toward what we're talking about in the trauma realm. I personally had to take a period of time during my incarceration, when some of my family members had come to visit me, and I told them that I needed to explain something to them that they were probably going to be offended by, but please to understand and allow me to explain what I was saying to them. And I had to start that off by telling them, I have hated you for most of my life and resented you for most of my life because you didn't protect me from being molested as a child. None of them had any capacity to know that it was going on. I didn't tell anybody it was going on. Nobody knew it was going on, but still in that little kid's head and heart, there had to be somebody to blame for this awful thing that was happening and repeatedly happening. So then I explained to them that it was in my head and in my heart. It didn't make it true because I know that they would have done everything in their power to protect me. But they had no capacity to do that, not knowing that it was going on. We often have a perspective of things that happen in offense, and we get offended by things, and those things actually don't exist. If we would just break down the communication barriers and start to talk to people about what we're actually feeling in each moment, we can actually get to a point where we can move past the things that have happened to us. I repeatedly say that when you have a 20, 30, 40-year-old man that's throwing tantrums that makes him look like a child, he has trauma in his past that he hasn't dealt with. And the age group of that tantrum that he's throwing is probably the age group where that trauma occurred. For a 5-year-old kid to come out when I was in my 20s, people didn't understand where that was coming from, but it was a child screaming in rage for help. And it wasn't until it was too late that I was able to get that help. And it was almost too late. I mean, for those of you that know the story, you know, it was difficult moving forward from a gunfight with Tucson Police Department and looking at the rest of my life in prison from a wheelchair. Probably some compound trauma, but, you know, I've discussed this with a number of really, really smart people. And I said, there comes a point in time where the hypervigilance, where the having to be on alert 24/7, if you don't have that in your life, you're going to crave it, because that is the place where you feel most comfortable. And you can actually look at our soldiers, our first responders. They don't run from, they run to, you know, and you can go back over the things that occur in prison. There are killings, there are riots, there's a drug trade, there's beatings, there's all of these things, and all of these things have an effect on those who have to witness them. And you have to witness them in a way that you didn't witness them. So everything is kept inside. It wasn't until I had changed and left the life that I was living to become a new creation. And I had to look back on that life, and I had to look back on that person and move into a different identity, one that I did not know. But I looked at that through the eyes of somebody who was new and was willing to learn and was willing to use the experiences that I had lived through in order to enhance other people's lives. It wasn't until, there's a scripture that says, what is done in secret is going to be shouted from the rooftops, and what is in the dark is going to be brought to the light. And I just love that. I live for that scripture, because it you know, I repeatedly say that it wasn't until a counselor told me that I was the most selfish person to think that me being in a group and keeping the stories of my life to myself that could save another life was the most selfish act I could do. So it wasn't until then that everything changed, and I moved forward and I started telling the story. And you know what? You don't lose of yourself when you tell the story. You give up of yourself in order to gain, and other people are able to gain from that. I believe, you know, it's very, very powerful. All things work together for the good. I believe that everything that I have experienced in my past can be used for somebody else's future to be flourishing. And I love the fact that the Lord gave me some answers for people. And if I can do anything in order to help people to achieve a flourishing future, the best versions of themselves, a future with faith and not something that is continually bringing up their past. And we cannot continue to identify ourselves with our past, because we'll continue to identify ourselves with our trauma. And you can't do that, because that's not who you are. That's not who you were made to be. We were made to be so much greater than we are. Really ever imagined we could be. But when we surrender and we give ourselves a shot, you know, and the rehabilitation, the reprogramming, forget all of that. Let's just start from go and move from there. Okay. And let's expose what has been offensive. Let's bring out those things that were done in secret. Let's talk about the things that are painful. Let's discuss the things that are holding you back from asking for help, because it was somebody who you asked for help that hurt you to begin with. Everybody is not that way. It has been my experience, and what a blessing to have this experience, that we continually deal with resources, we deal with public officials, we deal with law enforcement, first responders, who have a heart for each individual to have a future no matter what their past is. And for individuals who have served time in prison, please move past the prison, move past the indoctrination of those concrete walls and cages and live free. There is too much in society today that is living at the judgment of the cross and not living at the redemption of the empty tomb. We need to walk forward in freedom. We have been released from there. The hearts of people, the minds of people are moving toward a time when our pasts can be forgotten. They can be put behind us. That's something that Fresh Start is doing. That's something that Dr. Holt has set his life and mind and heart to do. And you know what? We're getting a lot of people to jump on board, and really influential people that we are really, really happy to be working with, and to see them having a heart to serve. The county attorney, the mayor, just wonderful, wonderful people getting on board because they know that the public safety comes first, and restorative justice and transformative justice is the only way for us to move forward. We can't keep going back to Egypt. We'll always be slaves. Okay, if you keep going back to prison, you're gonna have the same result. You keep getting out with nothing, having to start all over again. You know what? We're gonna keep building. We're gonna keep building, but it's up to us. We have to do it on our own. We have to decide each and every day that we're going to get up, we're going to pull them up by the belt loops, put one in front of the other, and we're going to do it the right way. And if you start to do it that way, you're going to see that people come on board with you. And I would highly recommend finding some people that you admire. I had the wonderful opportunity to meet some gentlemen. When I was released this last time, men of integrity, men of God, that just were wonderful to be around. And the thing is that most people don't know who they're going to be on the other side of that. I know who you're going to be. You're going to be a whole new person and a new creation moving forward with a whole bunch of people supporting you so that you can have the future that you were intended to have rather than the one that we defaulted to. I mean, none of us grew up wanting to be a junkie or an alcoholic or a convict or an inmate number. You know, that's not what our desire was growing up. So default to what you were made to be, and it's greater than what you are. So there are people that know that and see that in you. We at Fresh Start want to help you to get there. In closing, I'd like to talk to you about the Blessing Breakfast. January 27th, 8 a.m. to 9:30 at the El Conquistador Resort. You have to go to fortucson.com and register for the event. If you are a first responder, please go on there. We have plenty of seats for first responders to eat for free. We still have people that are buying tables for first responders, which is absolutely wonderful problem to have. So please, we get to pray over first responders, elected officials. It's Border Patrol, Sheriff, PD, fire, from Marana, Oro Valley, all over the place. It's a really wonderful event. They do the honor guard, and it's really nice that we have several chaplains that stand up and pray, and our CEO prayed, and it's a real nice event, and I really enjoyed it. And the El Conquistador does a wonderful job for us out there. Thank you for joining us today at Fresh Start. And like I said, we are behind you. We are with you. We are walking with you. Remember what it is that we can do for you, and remember what it is that you need to do for yourself. We are behind you, and we can support you. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. If you would trust us, we can actually get you to drink. We can actually show you that it's a lot better than you think it is. And there's a lot more people that care. And that's what Fresh Start does. That's what Dr. DeMond Holt does. And I'll tell you, that's what Tom Cortese does. And every day I'm out in Tucson trying to affect some type of change or trying to help somebody to be better or to do more or to feel better or to just experience this moment as a fresh start to the next one. Thank you, and God bless. May he walk in your footsteps before you make them.